UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody at above us to pass us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. See, I passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
We're about to take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are joining us from tonight. Tonight's guest is Shah from New York. She has seen things since she was a child, and she has seen both creatures and crafts, and continue to see them as an adult. The most recent incident was with a grey alien that healed an issue she was having with severe foot pain. And if you've had an encounter and you would like to share, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. And while you're on the website, you can enter this month's competition for a I Want to Believe poster and some other goodies by correctly answering this question. There's UFOs over New York, and I ain't too surprised. Are lyrics from which John Lennon song? Is it A, Nobody Told Me, B, Watching the Wheels, or C, Imagine? The winner will be selected at random from the correct entries after the closing date on 16th of September. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. I'd like to welcome Shah to the show.
Hi, well, thank you.
Really appreciate you coming on today, and you're from New York State?
I am.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, you're coming on today and you're going to be sharing multiple UFO sightings and a sighting of a strange creature. Would you like to start the very beginning with your earliest experiences, please, Shah?
Sure. I did, even as a child, I recall, maybe about the age of 3 or 4, seeing very odd-looking craft in the sky. Living in New York City, there's a lot of airports, and you are very used to seeing airplanes. And at the time that I grew up, as I said, we had still had blimps, dirigibles were still in the sky, so you saw those as well. It was not uncommon, so that you would not mistake a sphere-shaped vehicle with anything else. So I'd seen a few odd things like that as well, but there was an incident where was my sister and I, and at the time I grew up in Brooklyn, fully urban area, and we lived in an apartment building that was above a jewelry store. So there were three stories above the jewelry store, and on the block that we lived in, there were no, you couldn't walk between buildings, or everything was attached. And then there was a, like a courtyard in the back where all of the backyards converged in the back of the building in the center of the block. And my sister and I had gone up to the third floor to, we had friends that lived up on the third floor. So we were up there visiting them. We were looking out of the back windows into the yard, and there was a telephone pole, a typical wooden telephone pole that they had installed there, and well, clotheslines all from multiple households went to this pole, and the pole itself was like shimmering, and it was very odd. It was very odd, and my sister and I both saw that, and we got scared. And we went back home, back downstairs to our apartment. And of course, the first thing that I did was go to the back window to look at this pole again. And when I looked out, this yard is now, right, because we're above a jewelry store. So the yard is one floor down. I'm looking down into it. And there was a tree. And if I had to guess the height, you know, now as an adult, when I think about it, it was not a very big tree. I would say it was perhaps 20 feet tall. And I saw this creature standing next to the tree. When I first looked at it, the first thought in my mind was that it was like a chimpanzee. But it moved, and when it moved, I know this is will sound odd, but as and I was a child, and I was probably maybe 5 years old. Now, we moved from that apartment when I was 7 years old, so I know that I was younger than that, and I would say it was probably about five. And what it reminded me of was like these flying ape men that they had in The Wizard of Oz, and which are a little bit scary for a little kid. But it wasn't, but it just was, perhaps for a moment, I thought that that was what it was. But it was something, and if I had to guess its height, I'd say it was probably maybe 5 to 6 feet tall. Covered with fur. It was angry for whatever reason, I don't know. When I looked down there, it grabbed the tree and it shook it and it kicked it. And when it kicked the tree, it split. I mean, it split. The trunk almost probably split it halfway through. Well, after it did that, I was watching it. I mean, it wasn't like I saw it in an instant, and I mean, I watched it happen, and it turned and looked up and saw me in the window, and this thing jumped from the ground. There was a ledge that was probably maybe 12, 15 feet off the ground, and it jumped from the ground to that ledge in one movement. And it didn't even like spring. You know what I mean? It didn't crouch down and jump. It just like effortlessly. I mean, it jumped, but it didn't fly. But the jump like was nothing. It was just like you stepping off of a sidewalk. And it jumped to that ledge, and then it immediately jumped onto the windowsill of the window that I was standing at. I could see it looked, its face was on the other side of the pane of glass directly in front of my face. That's how close it was. The only thing that separated its face from mine was a pane of glass. And it opened its mouth and showed me its teeth. And I was probably 5 years old, and I am now 59 years old. And I can remember like every tooth in its head. Fangs, yellow, wet, sharp, pointed teeth, red eyes. I could see it right in front of my face. And it happened so quickly, it jumped so quickly that I couldn't have turned. I mean, it made those two jumps within like 2 seconds. Incredible. I wish I could explain how far these jumps were and how this thing did that. And when it came up to me and put its face up to the glass and screamed, I think for a second I was like frozen. But I ran, and my sister saw it. She absolutely saw it. And as I said, she will not discuss it. If I tried, and I did, I tried, approached her as an adult because something wants to say to you, you know, you didn't really see that. But then I knew that I had somebody there. So as an adult, I tried to bring it up to her, and she just like lost it. I mean, she was like, I don't ever bring that up. I never want to talk about that. And so I guess I cannot talk about it with her, but it would be, I don't think she would be that upset had it been nothing at all. But I would have liked to, you know, get some confirmation. All these many years, I remember that. And then I watched or I listened to one of your casts, and you had a young man who talked about a very similar creature as well, doing similar jumps. And also another thing that has kind of brought it to my mind was these missing people from the national parks. And I'm going to say that that animal, whatever it was, if it wanted to jump down from a tree and grab a grown adult and lift them into that tree and jump up in that, into that tree carrying a full-grown adult, could certainly have done it. Anything that's strong enough to jump like that with no effort is exponentially stronger than any human being, and quick as well, almost quicker than we can see. I mean, I know I saw it, and I know it exists. And sometimes even now as an adult, when I think that, you know, there's something like that, whether it is extraterrestrial or interdimensional, it's still is manifesting on a planet, this planet, in a form that we can see and that can do physical damage to things. Because the reason why I say that is that tree in the backyard, my family moved from there when I was 7 years old, but I had an older sister, and much older than I was. And when my parents moved out of the apartment, she and her husband and their children moved into the apartment. And so I continued to go there probably for the next 4 or 5 years they lived there. And that tree still there with that split area still visible on that tree for years after it happened. And so it left something that I could see, you know, afterward. It is kind of, it is frightening sometimes to think, you know, that I believe that it's real.
Looking back as an adult, what do you think it was?
This thing that happened with the pole prior to us seeing it, the first thing that we noticed when we were up in the other apartment was this pole had the shimmering quality to it. And I'm going to say I was happened to be watching, and I do, you know, watch and listen to stories of other people, videos, podcasts of people who have also had experiences of seeing things, you know, out of place, untoward things. And there is a woman who said she saw an alien in her backyard. And she said that she saw some shimmering at first before she actually saw the creature. Though her creature, what she described, did not really resemble what I saw. But she did say something like, you know, if that's what they look like, it's not good. And yeah, I definitely had that feeling. I don't know if it's alien, you know, I mean extraterrestrial when I say alien. But what I do think is that perhaps, I mean, it wasn't a large animal. It wasn't like a Bigfoot, you know, where it was 8 feet tall. That absolutely it was not. It was a smaller stature, human size, maybe even a little bit smaller, you know, 5 foot tall, something like that. I don't know. But I think perhaps some sightings of things, ape-like creature, whatever, could be this same thing. I don't know if they get bigger as they get older. You know, maybe I was looking at an infant, and you know, a full-grown one is considered a Bigfoot. But this was not a lumbering animal, you know, stomping its way through anything. This was something that moved with speed and purpose, and I don't know, wasn't hiding, wasn't trying to hide from anything. Where when you think of like something like a Bigfoot, you think, you know, this thing is a master at hiding from us. But and I don't know why it exposed itself to me or why I was able to see it. You know, I don't understand it. And I don't have an explanation for it.
And it certainly didn't belong there.
It wasn't an animal. It wasn't. I was old enough to know. And I may have mistaken it when I first saw it, right? Because the human mind wants to say it's something logical, right? That I'm looking, oh, it's an ape, it's a monkey, it's something that I can relate to. But it wasn't anything that I've ever seen. I've never watched a television show or seen a video or a movie of any living animal that looked like this thing. It doesn't, I mean, I have seen depictions of demons that I thought had a resemblance, but I mean, these, I don't think these are factual pictures. These are pictures that someone's drawn from their imagination. And what I saw was real. So could it be a demon? I don't know that I believe in them. You know, I don't know that I believe that there are demons. But if somebody told me, you know, for a fact that that's what that was, then I guess there are.
I mean, with the lights, it's very possibly that it was coming from someplace, you know, wherever that place is.
I mean, the thought in my mind, I think the strongest thought I have is that it is extraterrestrial as opposed to extra dimensional. I don't know. I could be wrong. That's just the more of a feeling that I have because I have had more experiences related to extraterrestrial than I could say that I've had or what I think would be extraterrestrial than I could say, you know, demonic experience or something of that nature. I don't play with Ouija boards or anything like that. I'm not one to try to summon anything. Why? You know, I don't need company that badly. So, I don't play around with things like that. Not because I believe in it, just because I think if you don't believe in it, why would you waste your time trying to summon one up? I have considered the demon thing, but not so much. And I had also, it's odd, but there's a story from back in the 70s of two guys who were abducted down south someplace, Pascagoula or someplace down south like that. It's quite, really, fairly well-known story in people who follow these types of things. And they said that they were abducted by two aliens. And they drew, there was actually like a drawing of it. And the alien that they drew was nothing like we would typically think of a gray, you know, big head, bug-like. But their legs were like tree trunks. And they had wrinkled skin like a Sharpei. And I saw them. When I was a child, I saw those very same creatures in that very same backyard. They were not there for me, but I saw them. And I told my parents that I saw people covered in mud. But when I saw the picture of the aliens, it was them. What I had mistaken that wrinkly skin as a child for being covered with mud, but they had pointed ears, and that was when I knew, when I saw that picture, it was like I saw them, and I saw them in that yard, and I cannot explain it. I really cannot explain it, why I saw them, and they knew that I saw them. And I think sometimes that the reason why kids see things is because they know that we don't believe them. You know, when a child comes and says, I saw a guy covered in mud in the backyard, right? You're like, who's going to do that? You know, who's going to cover themselves from head to toe in mud and walk across the backyard. So you think it's the kid's imagination. And so I don't think they're so worried about hiding themselves from young people, you know, from small adult human beings. I've had some experiences.
When you saw the creatures, what were they doing? Did they just turn up?
They were actually coming into the building. Now, as I said, in the ground floor was a jewelry store, and they just walked in. There was no door there. There's no door in there. If there was a window, I assure you it was covered with bars because it was a jewelry store there. And the backyard was not really, it wasn't a backyard that anybody used. The backyard belonged to the jewelry store, and so the tenants above did not access the yard. I think my dad used to go down there once in the summer and cut down the weeds just so people would not throw refuse back there, you know, and that we could not see it because the grass was so high, but no one used the yard. And I saw them walk across the yard and then walk into the corner of the building there and disappear. And I don't know where they went, but I knew that they were not there. They didn't have anything to do with me. You know what I mean? I knew that they didn't. I know if I say it, it sounds odd, but I feel like there's certain things when you see them, they know that you can see them. They can hear us. They know that we see them. And so I don't know how to explain it.
Do you think maybe they want to be seen by a select few?
Yes. I'm going to tell you, I had another incident. This is much more recent. And I think I wrote you about this. And this happened about 2 years ago. Here, where I live now, not in New York City and not as a child. And I was asleep on the sofa. I had visitors come in from out of town, family. And they were staying in the house with me. And I, for whatever reason, lay down on the sofa on my right side and fell asleep. And I woke up, and it was early, very early morning, maybe about 5 o'clock, and light had started to come through the windows, but it was not broad daylight yet. And I opened my eyes. I looked down towards my feet, and there was a gray alien standing at my feet. I looked at it. At first, I thought it was a joke. And as I said, there are people who I have told the stories to, some family members, select family members. And I thought perhaps they were teasing me and had bought, you can get them on eBay, little alien dolls, you know, posable, whatever. And so this thing was standing by my feet, and it had a glass rod in its hand, maybe about a foot long. It was probably, height-wise, maybe 3.5, 4 feet tall. It was everything that people say, the people who say they have seen gray aliens. It's everything they said it was. So it was standing there with this rod by my feet. And I looked at it because, as I said, first I thought it was a joke and then somebody had brought a doll in the house and put it there. And it was moving. So when it started to move, you know, the human mind wants to make sense of it. It doesn't want to say this is really happening. So I was thinking like it's some kind of a puppet or, you know, robot. What is this thing? So I keep looking at it, and I mean, I absorbed it. I didn't just look at it and scream or jump, whatever. I mean, I looked at it, and I looked at the way its face was incredibly flat, but it had this huge head. And the way the flatness of its face then to this big round head in the back, and the way its ears were not really ears, but like holes on the side of its head. And when I looked at that, it was like, this is not some toy. This is something. And its arms were so skinny. Its arms were like the size of maybe like a 3/4 inch PVC pipe. I mean, you couldn't put a 2-year-old in a costume. I mean, a 2-year-old's arms are thicker than this thing's arms were. And it was doing something. It was moving, and it was doing something at my foot. And all I could think was, I have to get somebody to come out here and see this. Somebody has to witness this. So I screamed. I said, "Alien!" And it then realized that I was not asleep. And it turned and looked at me. And I'm telling you, I will never forget when it turned its head and looked into my eyes with those big black eyes in that big face. Its face was like, almost like you would look at a mask. It was so, you can't compare it to anything on Earth. I mean, you just cannot compare it to anything on Earth. And it looked me in the eye, and it didn't, its mouth was probably an inch long. Just as, I mean, it was everything. If I could describe it, I would say, if you look at the cover of the book Communion, are you familiar with that piece of work? That is the shape of the face. But the alien in the book Communion, for some reason, has a very kind of friendly look about it. And this, not that it, this did not have, not that it looked like it was unfriendly, but it was very expressionless. You could not look at its face and say, oh, perhaps this is a nice gray alien. It just was a like a mask. But when it looked at me, I could feel it thinking. And it looked at me and said, it didn't say it. It sent to me like, really? You know, now you're going to make me have to whatever it did. That was, I mean, it was a annoyance when it looked at me that I could feel, you know, like what a pain in the backside. You know, that kind of a look it gave me and that kind of a feeling. And I cannot remember not one second after that thing looked at me and I felt that. I don't remember not one second after that. So when I woke up again, I remembered that it happened. I didn't need to be hypnotized or anything. Like, I remembered it like you remember what happens when you're awake. And I went and got my daughter and I said, did you hear me yell? And they said, no, they did not hear me yell. So I told her what happened, and I'm sure she probably thought I was, you know, I don't know. People do. They think you're crazy. And so we had planned to do some shopping that day. And when we went, I had such a terrible pain in my foot that entire day. I was limping. I absolutely was limping to get around. I had such terrible pain. And I had told them what happened. And this foot bothered me all day long. But even more remarkable is I had been suffering from some chronic pain in that very foot for about maybe 2 or 3 years before that happened. And I attributed it to, you know, being a nurse and a lot of time on my feet. I would lay down at night to go to sleep and my foot would throb. And it wasn't excruciating pain. And sometimes if it was annoying, I would take a couple of, you know, ibuprofen or something, and that would be enough to suppress it so that I could sleep. But I had kind of resigned myself to the fact that, you know, I guess I'm getting older, and this is one of the things that's going to bother me as I get older because it happens so frequently. But I'm going to tell you that ever since that day that I saw that alien in my home, that my foot has not so much as throbbed, not once since that very day. And I want to say to myself, self, that was a dream. It wasn't real. It didn't happen. But between the foot pain that I suffered the day of and the fact that my foot has never bothered me, and I mean like not once. It is, my foot is completely pain-free 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I have to say that's too much of a coincidence, you know, that that would coincide with that sighting. And so I know that they're still around. And part of me says, why would they bother to do that? Why would they, you know, what this, in the grand scheme of things and all the things that's going on in the world, why would they come to, you know, fool around with my foot? My I have a friend who I do discuss things with, and we kind of toyed with the idea that perhaps the pain was coming from something that they had done, and maybe figuring I was, you know, eventually seek some kind of help, perhaps have x-rays or whatever, and maybe it was time to get rid of it. I'm also going to say that I have a very long history of a lot of infertility and really kind of odd physical things. Of course, evidenced by doctors and many surgeries and stuff like that. And have incidents when I was a teenager. I had, it was like a dream. It wasn't like when I saw this alien where I knew I was awake and everything, but I had a dream-like experience of being chased by a disc-shaped UFO, and I was running. I was trying to get away. It was trying to put the beam on me. And this is in New York City, and I was older, but I was running, and I was in a parking lot, and I remember trying to get between cars and crouch down and hide behind bushes and things, and it was chasing me, and I was frightened. I mean, I was in this dream, you know, I was like heart attack frightened. I was found laying on the ground outside, unconscious, and they called my father down. He came down and picked me up and brought me back up to the house. They thought I had passed out from perhaps maybe dehydration or something. I was quite an active young person. But I don't remember an abduction. What I remember is this chasing, you know, being chased. But I don't recall anything happening to me. But I did have a problem since I was a teenager with my reproductive organs, and really with not an explanation for it. So I don't know, you know, if that has anything to do with it, but I do know that this is something that's been happening to me like my entire life. And as I said, maybe there's been spans and years where I don't remember anything happening at all. But then something will happen. So I know that, you know, things are still happening.
That's absolutely fascinating, Shah.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure it must sound strange. And it's not something that I talk about. I mean, there's people who've known me for years and would be surprised to hear me say this. But I do want to say that maybe over the last 5 or 6 years, I have been, and especially lately, I feel compelled to say it. And I think about the Close Encounters when they were all, you know, making a Devil's Tower out of their mashed potatoes, and they felt compelled. And I feel compelled to say it like it's time to say it. And I know that, you know, there's people who are going to say it's my imagination or whatever, and I'll accept all of those things. But I don't think it's my imagination. There are things that I've seen in my lifetime that I thought was my imagination, you know, just like everybody else has their imagination play tricks on them. But the incidents that I'm describing to you are incidents that I feel are not my mind playing tricks on me. And I saw that alien. I looked at it. I absorbed it with my eyes. I absorbed it. And it was a living creature. It was not anything. It was a living creature. And it was in my home.
Going back to the creature, when you said it touched your foot with the rod. It's something I hear time and time again where people have had a problem in a certain location, whether it's the feet, the arms, the ears, and then they've had an experience with a being, and then right away that problem is gone. But also very interesting what your friend said about there's a possibility that, you know, you had something and they were just taking it away.
Perhaps, you know, I have thought too that, you know, maybe they're done with me. You know, maybe I've, when I was young, you know, and I had something of interest for them, right? You know, being reproductive, or as I said, I was very athletic and having a specimen, you know, that's in good physical condition. But perhaps, you know, as I round the bend here and I'm not so much of interest to them anymore, maybe they came to pick up their equipment. I don't know. I know that I'm grateful that my foot no longer hurts. I wonder, you know, I mean, it was, as I said, it was annoyed with me. It wasn't like, hey, you know, I'm here to help you out. It just was annoyed with me. It wasn't. So I don't, the feeling like, you know, they want to help me or us was not a feeling that I was getting. Now, could I be wrong? I could be. I mean, we have no idea whether they have emotions, right? You know, that's something that we as human beings might want to project on them. Oh, they're good or they're bad or they're helping us. And they may be doing none of those things. They may just be doing whatever it is they're doing. And we are interpreting those things. So I did not feel that it was helping me. I did not. Obviously, it was not hurting me. It could have, if it wanted to kill me, you know, if you can show up in my house without me knowing it, I guess if you wanted to take me out, you could as well. You know what I mean? And so it didn't, it's not here to kill me, but I don't know that it's here to help me. And so that being said, I don't know if they're, you know, when people say, oh, they're going to come and help us. I don't know about that.
Yeah, and I'm inclined to agree with you there. I think they are exactly doing that. They're doing their own thing. And I think it's very different for them.
It did seem to be annoyed when I woke up. I think, you know, in some way, I feel like it thought it was going to be able to skip the step of sedating me, right? To use terminology that we are familiar with, that it would anesthetize or sedate me before the procedure, and just figured it could get in there and do it while I was asleep. And then to see me, you know, awake. And not only that I wake up and see it, but that I have the nerve to scream as well. And so it definitely had an annoyed factor, or it seemed that way anyway.
But of course, the benefit, obviously, being a nurse and that, and you're on your feet for God knows how many hours a shift, the benefit of not having that pain.
I'm going to say I no longer do that. I decided I'd be a little bit nicer to my feet, so I don't do that kind of nursing anymore. Certainly, but I did. I was still doing it at the time when that happened, just not just for work, but just in general. I mean, it was a nagging pain, and it could keep me awake all night long. And so, yeah, I am grateful that it happened. I mean, I was not hurt. I also have to say that part of me says the next time I see them, Because I'm going to tell you that it is scary. It is absolutely terrifying. The moment when you really know that it's real, right? I mean, if we were, you know, the general population were sitting and all of a sudden, you know, it was said on the news that they had arrived, and you open up your door and there's little gray aliens standing outside walking across your yard or crossing the street. And that moment when we look at them and say, this is real, it is terrifying. But I think I'm a little bit, I would not be as terrified, right? If I were to open up my door, right, and I see that the gray aliens are taking over and I open up my door and I see them, the sight of them will not be as frightening to me. Right. I will figure that I can see them and I can survive. Right. Because a lot of people, I think, when they see them, which is one of the reasons why they say that continue to hide this from us, is because we can't handle it. And people will, you know, lose their minds or whatever. Though I think we have reached a stage in technology where more than half of the adults in the world believe that it's real, that there's something to it. So we can't be that surprised when it happens. And I won't be surprised at all.
No, I think generally people would be able to accept it. There'll be a few people which will find it very difficult, for sure.
Well, it'll only be difficult for a few moments, us to understand them. They can do that as well. I think they know that they frighten us, and they know how to not do it as well. We're child's play. We're child's play for them. And I cannot even believe that when I see or hear these things about the government working with them or whatever, it's like that they could even dream that they could spar in the same ring with these things is unbelievable. And I don't care how far back we go, because to think that, why would they negotiate anything with us? They don't have to negotiate anything. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly. Mentally and physically, you know, we're certainly not on the same level.
They know not to let us get there either. We'll go turn right on them. You know what I mean? If they brought us to their own technological, emotional level, we as human beings might not use it for the good. They might be our first victims, you know? So they know that we have a tendency to be that way.
Obviously, if they know anything about our history, which I'm sure they do, they'd know that human beings suck.
They made it. I honestly believe they have a lot to do with who we are and what we are and what will happen as well. And they know it before we do it.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think we're just a big greenhouse for them.
It doesn't seem logical to me that they would. I think they could help us if they wanted to, but I don't think that us negotiating with them is, it's just even foolish to think, why it's not necessary for them. Unless it's something they want us to think we can do, you know.
That's excellent, Shah. How'd you feel?
I feel relieved, in a sense, to get it out. Like I said, it's been happening for so long, and there's been a few people who I have confided in and told, but not very many people. And I know a lot of people will hear this. I listened to your podcast. I felt that I knew that there were other people who were seeing things and things were happening to them that they could not explain. And that it's time to say it. As I said, I have been feeling compelled to say it. And perhaps that's why I came across your channel. And so I feel like it was something I needed to do. I know somehow think if there if they have always been around. They must have done it for a reason. As I said, I think now that I'm old and perhaps they're done with me, but I do think they had a reason. There are things that I think, and I'm going to tell you that I think that a lot of us have interactions with them, and many of us do not remember them at all.
Well, that's an excellent final thought. I really appreciate you coming on today, Shah.
Well, thank you for having me, and I appreciate you and the channel and what you're doing, and I think there'll be a lot more people feeling like they can talk about it, and the more that we talk about it, the more I think there are people who will realize that it's happening to them as well, and I don't know what that ultimately will lead to. But at least it will lead to some peace of mind.
That is all for today. If you would like to share your encounter or experience, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. Thank you to our guest, Shah, and thank you for listening. I will be back next week with another witness encounter. Till then, keep yourselves safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.